Hola, I'm Paulina.
Hi, I'm Bricia. And we're sisters, friends, daughters, wives, and business owners, following our dreams, just striving to be a better version of ourselves every day. All right, and we're also moms.
Welcome to the Super Mama Sisterhood.
And I was jumping on the waves with Carista, and it was like, oh my God, this is the best ever. We get in the car, we get home. She cries because I woke her up. I was like, I wish I didn't have any kids within like 3 hours.
She stopped me right there. She was like, Brisa, I want you to understand this. I seriously believe that our children choose us and we don't choose our children.
Right.
Your baby chose you to be his mom.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what kind of mom he wanted. And he chose you as his mom.
Oh, that's really nice.
We're all sisters here to inspire, support, and guide each other to dream bigger and to enjoy every moment of this extraordinary journey that is womanhood. ¿Listas?
Here we go.
¡Super mamás!
Hola, Super Mamás. This is Paulina. And this week on the show, we have Ramona Ortega from MiDineroMiFuturo.com or MyMoneyMyFuture.co. She is going to talk about a very scary subject, money, but she's going to make it less scary for us. She's going to talk about the essential language and the importance of learning the essential language of finances and how we can start building our own wealth right now for our kids and for ourselves. You guys are going to find a lot of useful information. Take notes and enjoy the show.
Hello.
Hi, everyone.
Hello.
Hello, sisters. How are you?
Hi, blood sister.
Hi, blood. Hello, soul sisters. Hello, blood sister.
We're all sisters.
How is everybody doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm ready for the apocalypse.
I know you are.
I've been on a binge on preparing for the end of the world.
I know.
These past 2 weeks, I just added something to my arsenal.
What did you get?
I actually brought you dry food because I know you probably would never order it.
You got your dry food.
And I got your dry food. But you still need hot water.
Is it like dry tacos or what kind of dry food is it?
No, it's like legit dry food, like pasta, like oatmeal.
Oh, nice.
It's like food in a pouch.
Mm.
So anyway, for those of you who don't know, I've been obsessing over the end of the world.
Well, not the end of the world.
Okay, the end of civilization.
Okay, that makes it much better than the civilization.
You know, with everything that's going on right now and the world, I'm really not discarding anything. Right. So I'm getting myself prepared in case anything happens.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. So, you know, we went to get a bunch of stuff. I got a safe already. I got my fireproof safe. I got food for 30 days. I have water. I have like this thing where you like turn it on, it heats up water in 2 minutes.
Oh, nice.
And then the latest thing that I got over the weekend that someone told me was gas.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were like, well, do you know if like shit hits the fan, really, like there's going to be no gas. And how are you going to get yourself to Mexico? If that's your big plan. And I'm like, that's right. If there's no electricity, the gas pumps don't work.
Uh-huh. Oh, shit.
And if you don't have gas, how are you going to get anywhere?
Mm-hmm.
And then true. I remembered you, how you never have gas in your car. And
Now I do.
And I'm like, so we went to get 2 5-gallon tanks and fill them up with gas so we can keep them in the house in case anything happens. We have 10 gallons of gas.
I hope you're keeping all this shit like in a safe place, because like if something happens within your house, like you have all this stuff, like high flammable stuff in your house.
All I have, but I guess it's kept somewhere else. I didn't know. People keep gas for their mortar to mow their lawn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like a special, it's not just like, I don't have it like in a plastic container, although it's kind of plastic, but. I'm not going to put it next to like the gas tank. You know,
well, that's what I'm saying. I hope you have all of this in a safe place.
That's why I went to get my safe.
Because I know you've had issues with plumbing, your plumbing breaks down and all your stuff is flooded and then it all.
No, I actually I actually have like a special container with all my survival kit.
You have a special container for all your special containers.
I have a special container for all my survival stuff. I have my safe and I have now my gas.
Oh, nice.
So if something happens, I am prepared.
Well, I'm going to your house if something happens.
No, but we'll be there because I will be traveling to Mexico if something happens. Good luck finding me there. So anyway, I'm just prepared.
Well, I hope you have like enough for two families.
No.
Three
families. I only have enough for one family. And I'm saying this right now because everyone should prepare.
Yeah.
No, everyone needs to be prepared. It, you know, like it's real. It's real. And I'm the only one. I've spoken to friends and they're like, oh my God, I'm getting prepared too in case anything happens. And I'm not trying to scare you. It's not about being scared. It's about being prepared.
Right.
And today we're actually going to talk about being financially prepared. So I'm really excited.
Yes. That is a very important subject because if everything goes to hell, at least you're financially prepared to start all over again.
Yeah.
That's for real. The truth. You know, that's really what happened. I think what happened in 2008 caught a lot of people off guard because nobody was prepared. So I think if anything were to happen again, we should all be prepared. We should all be ready to, you know, survive.
Yeah. Winter's coming, ladies.
Winter is coming.
We got to be ready for winter. We got to own winter.
Winter is my season.
I told someone that and they were like, why are you using a Game of Thrones analogy? I'm like, well, because you got to prepare.
I was made for winter. No, that's true. That's true. I'm really excited about the episode. I learned so much. I've been actually reading all of Ramona Ortega is our guest. I've been reading her website and I was like just making notes left and right because I think it's very important. Just to be prepared. And like the whole concept that she talks about wealth and passing on wealth, I'm like, yeah, we need to do that for our kids and our grandkids and everything. So I think we're going to learn a lot from her today.
Yeah, I loved having her. We're so thankful. And I know you guys are also going to get a lot of knowledge, a lot of tools to take notes. And if you guys have any questions about today's episode, don't forget to check out our show notes on supermamaspodcast.com and check out Ramona's website, midineromifuturo.com or mymoneymyfuture.co.
That's right. Okay.
Without further ado, here is our interview with Ramona Ortega of midineromifuturo.com. Enjoy. Thank you for flying all the way from New York just to be here.
Absolutely.
Just to be here. You're our second New Yorker that we have on the show.
Yay.
But you're from California, right?
I am. I'm a Chicana with an X.
Dang. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being here. I know our moms are going to gain so much knowledge from you.
I can't wait.
And so how do we become rich?
Tell me. Right. If I had that quick answer, we'd all be, you know, I'd be in a different place right now. I would say, you know.
Well, first, thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm so excited to share, you know, whatever I have. That's really what this is about. My company is about, which is My Money, My Future.
.co.
And then MiDineroMiFuturo.com. You can find us at both places. The idea is this, is that finances are complex in the sense that they're just overwhelming. There's a lot of moving pieces, right? Which is why I think people feel like overwhelmed and they think that they can't understand it. Mm-hmm. And my whole mission is to make sure that people have the information, the knowledge, and just the terminology. A lot of this is just language.
Right?
Let's break that down. It's super simple. No, it's not going to make you rich overnight. But the more you know it, the sooner you know it, the better off you're going to be. If I had known what I know now when I was 20 years old, it'd be a different ballgame, right? Mm-hmm. And not because I grew up with money. I grew up broke, you know, and I'm still broke, unfortunately. But it's partially because I didn't know what to do with the money that I made. I've been working since I was like 16 years old,
right?
If I would have known how to invest, how to plan, what kinds of decisions I needed to make, right? And so I would say this is the biggest thing. Start early. Mm-hmm. So if you're 20, now is the time. Right. Now is the time to open up that Roth 401k, start putting money away, start thinking about your credit. Credit is king because it will determine all of your different options in the future. Buying a house, buying a car, opening a business. All of those things are going to sit on your credit.
I personally am very thankful that my parents scared me into having good credit. And, you know, that was, I remember my mom was like, tu crédito, you know, like it was such a big thing for my parents for me to like have good credit growing up. And I didn't really understand what that meant. And I was careless when I was 18, you know, I didn't really care about it. And my mom helped me actually pay a Gap card. Thank you, Mom. yes. Back then, because she was so afraid that I had to like, you know, have good credit. But now that I'm 35 and I have, you know, have good credit, I'm like, I'm so thankful that they actually scared me into it. Because I think that if they wouldn't have scared me and they would have just tried to be like, oh, you should be careful, you know, I wouldn't have paid as much attention as I did.
Right.
And I am always like so on top of that because that's right. Like, you know, it's like your... ¿Cómo se dice? Tu carta de presentación. Like, yeah. Right here in this country, your credit speaks for you, like, no matter where you go.
It is. I mean, in New York, you can't even get an apartment without decent credit.
No, here like, too.
I mean, it's insane, right? Mm-hmm. So that's why I say credit is king. It's my one biggest mistake. The other thing I would say to that, and that's interesting because, you know, if you your family, well, the one, they were business owners, right? And so, and then you have an immigrant experience. And a lot of times what happens is that people will be scared not to get any credit at all, right? Mm-hmm. So it's a sort of, you know, extreme, which is don't build credit, which is, you know, okay, you can always fix that. You can get some credit, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit harder actually to fix it than to get it. So, but on the, I think on the opposite end of that, what we don't want to do is to have people be afraid of credit. Right. And that is actually sort of, I think part of that, it's a two-sided coin, right? Yeah. Is that don't ever get in debt, which means you're never going to take a risk because you're never going to leverage.
Right.
American wealth is built on being able to leverage your sort of assets to create more assets.
Right.
And what I mean by assets is just stuff. It's stuff that has value, right?
So if you have stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff. It's stuff that has value. I say, you know, do you want to buy a Coach bag or do you want to buy a Celine bag? Mm-hmm. You want to buy the Celine bag because it has better resale value.
Mira, I don't even know what a Celine bag is, so it must be better.
Selena?
But even with some kind of car sometimes, right? Sometimes it actually makes sense to buy a more expensive car if you can leverage, if you're going to resell that car. Mm-hmm. But
or
again,
if you're going to do a write-off.
Or if you're going to do a write-off. It depends.
Over
4,000
pounds.
Right? Oh, is that right? You're business, that what it is, right? Business write-offs. That's the other thing. Everything comes back to taxes.
Yeah.
The more you know about the tax code, the better you are, period. So start young. That's the big thing. And, you know, there's so much information out there, including our site, but there's other sites out there, too, to start to not be afraid of it. And part of it, what we're trying to do is, like, take the shame out of the money game.
Right.
Because almost all of us will go through an experience where we've done stupid shit with money. All of us.
No.
You know, we'll be embarrassed, we'll be ashamed, we'll be, carry burden. And most of the time, to be honest, it's not necessarily our fault. It's not like you went and just spent ridiculous amount. I have...
Or maybe you did.
But you didn't know, right? Yeah, I think my first credit card was like a Victoria's Secret. I was like, they sent it to me. I'm going to use it.
Actually, I think like people, when you're young and you get a credit card, you're like, free money.
Yeah.
You know, that's when you have that idea. And you're like, let's go spend.
Right. Because you don't understand interest and you don't understand compounding interest.
Right.
Right. I mean, and that's just simply, you know, if you don't pay that off in full, your interest rates, if they're going to charge you, let's say $5 or $10, it's going to be based on the amount of balance that you have. So it only increases over time.
Right.
The great thing about compound interest is, though, it works in your favor in investment. It's the same concept. Mm-hmm. So it can either screw you or it can benefit you. Like, it's that simple.
Right.
Right. And it's all about time.
Right.
It's not how much you invest, it's how long you invest. And, you know, it's not even about like investment, because I think a lot, and this is my other thing, we need more women talking about money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ladies, we need to talk about money. Women of color need to be talking about money. We talk about bling. We talk about this. We talk about things that require money, but we don't talk about money.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. I think especially in our community, and you know, when we meet with friends, it's like, you don't talk about your money stuff, you know, or you don't talk about how do you invest or how do you spend your money. Right. Or even when you meet a boyfriend, girl, single, all my single sisters that are out there, like, check your husband's credit score before you.
Yeah.
Right.
See how much student debt he's bringing into the relationship.
Right.
And be very open important. About it. I mean, look, ask for an STD test and ask for a credit report.
Right.
It's that simple.
No. I mean, look, I'm, and I think a lot of people push back on this, more traditional folks, but in terms of, especially this being a mama blog, you need to know what your finances are collectively.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Look, I'm all about, like, you should have a separate account because you never know. My grandmother was a victim of domestic violence. And one of, you know, the poignant things that she said to me very early on was always have your own money. Mm-hmm. Always have your own job. So you, in case you need to leave, you have your money.
Right.
And so I think that's something that's clear today, too.
Right.
You should never depend on your man to take care of the money situation. Mm-hmm. So that includes, where's the paperwork? Are you a beneficiary on his or her, whatever, life insurance? You better know that. Mm-hmm. Right? Because most people...
Do you have life insurance?
Or do you have life insurance? Look, so most state workers, for example, if they work for a state or a city, you know, most kind of blue collar jobs will have some kind of a life insurance through their job. So they're covered during their job. But that, you need to make sure that your name is on that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Where are those papers? You know, do they have a 401k? Do mm-hmm. they have a pension? Is your name on that? Right. So that's important. Having a separate account, I think, is super important. And it doesn't have to be hidden. I'm not saying hide. I'm saying, look, you should have a joint house account
mm-hmm.
and then you should have your individual accounts. And they could be proportional to whatever people bring in terms of income. But you need to have those like money dates. I mean, I know it's stupid, but at some point you need to sit down and ask about the debt.
Right.
Right. And girls, if you are not married, do not be co-signing on any loan for your man.
Amen, sister. I had an ex-boyfriend who I need to have a conversation with you. I want to like talk to you about something really important. And here I go. I'm thinking he's going to propose to me. He's like, you want to co-sign on my apartment? I'm like, on my house that I'm buying? I'm like, no. There's no rings in this finger.
Well, and even then. And even then.
Right.
So this is the other thing. And because I hear this a lot, particularly from Latino families, we get these questions all the time about transactions that happen within a family.
Mm-hmm.
Especially around homes, buying homes. Somebody, you know, it's an uncle or sister, then you loan money and then da-da.
Yeah.
And none of that stuff is done in a transactional way.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And let me just say this. Please, 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 if you are going to do it, and I'm not saying don't do it. Look, we've survived as long as we have being broke because we're familial with money, right? We're
right,
communal.
Right, yes.
Do it in a way, though, that's smart, right. Which is make sure that's on paper.
Papelito habla.
The paper.
Yes.
No, and for a number of reasons. If it's a loan,
right.
If they don't pay it back, you can actually claim it as a loss.
Oh,
yes.
So that's one thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And then two, you're very clear about what happened. If there's any, for example, people who have co-signed on loans, or I have people who their husband and daughter bought a house together, but the mom put the money in, and then, you know, there's issues with, okay, whose name's on the deed.
Mm-hmm.
If none of that is put in paper, a judge really can't do much,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're like, oh, what can I do? I'm like, it's your word against somebody else's word. Whose check was being sent in? Things right. like that, right? So remember that all of these are legal transactions. They're contracts.
Right.
So just make them. Even if it's $1,000, I'd say if it's over $1,000 you're loaning, unless you're gifting someone. And we're not in most of us are not making enough money to worry about this state tax. I'm not even really going to talk about it, but people who have a lot of money worry about that because they can give money away and then they can they get a discount on their estate tax. But we're not in that realm, yeah. most of us. But the other thing, and this is for your kids' sakes, right? You know, really knowing what the finances are, because who's going to take care of your kids?
Mm-hmm.
What do they have? Do they have that 401k that will be able to kick in if one of the parents isn't gone? If you don't have a pretty substantial either 401k or some kind of like family money, and your mother, even if you're a single mother, you should have life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You can get term life insurance for maybe about $25 a month is their cheapest. And look, that might be just for like $100,000. But I'll tell you, $100,000 is a lot mm-hmm. more than trying to go fund me campaign.
Right.
Right.
And I've seen this now. Literally, it's a joke amongst folks of color that GoFundMe campaign is the new like burial. Like, that's the fund where you like bury people. Like, it's insane.
It's true.
But it's true.
Yeah.
Because no one plans.
Right.
We don't like either. We don't like to talk about death, or we just don't plan.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is like a cultural situation. Even like I remember, like, you know, my elders, you know, uncles, aunts, is like, oh, you don't talk about death because you're calling it, you know, or we don't talk about life insurance because like you're calling death and you're like, oh my God, okay, let's not talk about it. Let's not even go there. But it's a lot of it is culture too. Like people are like, death? Oh my God, that's so far away. I don't even want to think about it. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to see it. Right. So that's why we don't plan. I mean, you know, that's the ideology behind
sure.
it. But now it's like, you know, we're in a different mindset and we have to plan and we have to think about our kids right. also. So like, what are we, if something were to happen to any of us, what would happen to our kids? You know, even like, I think, remember having a conversation with my sister about like, well, if I die and if my husband dies, who would take my kids? You know what I mean? Like, and that's like a very real conversation to have because yeah. you never know.
You never know. And the last thing you want to be doing is worrying about money when someone dies.
Right.
Right. And so I think it's about just knowing like, okay, if I don't have anything, I have this. Right. And like I said, for $25, you spend $35 to get your gel nails every month.
That's for sure.
Right.
More
you
than
know,
that.
Or Maybe. More than that. I'm just, you know, so it's all about perspective in terms of what's really important. And this is our time. We're the generation of the first. Right.
Yes, it's true.
Right. First lawyer, first to graduate, first businesses, first, I mean, all that stuff. Right. So, and I'm talking specifically around Latinas right now, where it's a first generation. Well, this should be our first generation to really build wealth. Not right. just to survive, it's different, right? Having a good salary. And I think we confuse this in the Latino community too, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm making money. Yeah, I made six figures. Well, you make six figures, but you don't have any net worth.
Right.
That's right. different.
That's very important.
Yeah, I
Preach,
made.
Sister.
I'm like, I made six figures. I was an attorney on Wall Street. I still had negative net worth because I had so much student debt.
Right.
Remember, net worth is just means that if you sold everything you had and you had a pot of money and put it all there and then you paid everybody, what would you have left over?
Right. Right.
I didn't have enough to pay everyone. And the sad statistic is that like most Latinos and black women have like literally less than $10,000 in net worth.
Wow.
That's a stat. I mean, it's insane.
Right.
And our net worth, the what we call the racial wealth gap, is that's what it's about. We don't have substantial wealth, right? And we lost a lot of that in the housing market crash. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because what happened? We invested solely in property because that's a very traditional thing to do. Mm-hmm. We all know it. So Black and Latinos lost almost 50% of their net worth because of the housing crisis because they didn't diversify. So when we talk about, you know, diversification of your portfolio, it's just where do you put your money?
Right.
So if all of your money's in property and that property then just got screwed, like now it's underwater, you now have no net worth.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not more complicated than that. It is simply that, which is why we go back to saying if you're going to buy stuff, one, buy experiences, right? Because nobody takes mm-hmm. those away at mm-hmm. the end of the day, right? But two, buy things that have value, right? Try to like... Enough with, you know, try not to go to Target too much. Right? No, I'm serious.
What?
Like, how much money do you spend at Target?
I am going to edit that part out of the show.
I'm not saying total deprivation, but literally, it's like, where does all your money go? And that's right. the first thing about, quote unquote, being able to get rich is you have to be able to track your money.
I think one of the things I heard you say in one of your interviews was like, well, just spend less than you make. And it's mm-hmm. like, well, yeah, I guess.
But it's like dieting, though. Right? I always have, it's the same thing. Psychologically, it is really hard, which is why every year you have a new diet, you have a new budget, you have a new... I mean, because it's all the same, right?
Right.
Because you're saying to yourself, you have to actually... There's some deprivation, and it's really hard, especially when you've grown up broke. I would mm-hmm. say you're in survival mode. Like, I'm already deprived enough.
Right.
Right? Right. But... Once you're aware of it, then you're saying to yourself, okay, where do I want to spend my money, mm-hmm. right? So do I want to go spend it with my friends and have a good time, or do I want to spend it at Target? That's $100 that I've just like, I've walked away from so many baskets that are full.
Yeah.
Because, right?
Me too. Preach,
you go
sister.
In on a Friday night, you're like, you're tired, and you just sort of like, it's really a mental health issue.
Right, right.
Right? You're triggered for whatever reason, you're stressing you, and that's what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to make you feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to buy that shirt because I'm going to look at it and, you know.
And
then
you never wear it.
And then you're like, oh my God, I've never worn that shirt. And at the end of the day, that shirt's probably not very nice. You're going to throw it away anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like comfort. It's like comfort food.
It's like comfort food.
Comfort
That's exactly
spending.
What it is. It's
yeah,
comfort
guilty
food.
Guilty of that sometimes.
And no, we all are.
That's expensive ass comfort food you guys got going on there.
We all do it. But once you start to be aware of it, then you sort of know when you're triggered.
Right.
Right. And mm-hmm. so seriously, like, I'm like, I'm not going into certain stores, because if I go in during a certain part, if I'm like stressed out or I'm tired, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to overspend.
Oh, yeah. That's
right. Really, so literally thing, yeah. a lot of like the mail shopping is actually good, although you have to be careful about not over shopping on like online. That's different. But I do think that for me, it was, if I don't go in the store and I just order online what I actually need.
Yes.
Then I'm less likely.
I've noticed that difference, like when I do
Instacart, right?
Instacart, instead of going into the actual store, because when I go to like Whole Foods or Trader Joe's, I come out with so much stuff. I'm like, oh, I might try this. And then I never do. And then when I do Instacart, I already know what I'm going to get. It's on my list, it's done, and then it gets there. You know, it's exactly what I need for the week.
Right. I mean, at least you know you're buying stuff that you're not completely wasting money on.
Right.
I mean, the same thing with, look, I mean, I have a son and he's the only one, so he's spoiled in that sense, right? So there's things that I've totally spent money on that I'm like, this is stupid, stupid, stupid. And then you're like, what am I going to do with all this? I have like a full box of Legos in my, I'm like, what am I going to do with all these Legos? Let's resell them. So that gets me to the next point, which is, what's the conversation we have with kids? Right. How do you start teaching?
Well, let's take a break right now. And when we return, I want to talk about planning for a new child and talking to our kids and building on what we have. Okay, we'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I just wanted to jump in here real quick and give a huge thank you to our sponsor for this week, Gaffer and Child, offering premium personal care products on their website at gafferandchild.com. If you're looking to get a present for your loved one on this Valentine's Day, check them out. I know my husband loves their shave butter. That's his jam. I love the facial cleanser. That's my jam. And I'm sure you guys are going to find great goodies in there you're going to love. So check them out at gafferandchild.com and enter the code SUPERMAMAS at checkout for a 10% discount. Now let's get back to the show. Okay, we're going to hold her hostage.
For real.
Until she makes me wealthy.
We might be here for a minute.
You're not living this room until you tell me how to become wealthy. How to create wealth. One of the things you said too was, how do we pass down wealth to our children, right? One of the things that really resonated with everything you've said was, we're not in survival mode, thank God. And not be like, oh my God, I just need to like get money to eat. But more like, I already have money to eat. Like, how do I save and how do I build on more?
Okay, so we have this motto called, don't just survive, thrive.
Yeah, right? So
that's part of our new campaign.
yeah. Just real quick, you guys can go on milinerofuturo.com or mymoneymyfuture.co to get... I mean, you have so many great blog posts. And one of the things I really enjoy about your site is just it's very easy to understand, because you're right. Sometimes we may not talk about money, not because we feel because we're ashamed, but just because we feel like dumb. I don't know what a, you know,
I don't even know. Is.
I don't even know what an annuity is. Like, you know, all these things.
What's an asset?
So let's talk about more about like, let's say I'm like a mid-30s female who doesn't have, you know, the best credit, but not a bad credit. Maybe a couple kids and, you know, maybe want another one, or maybe one kid, want another one, you know, one house income. Or if I want to quit my job sort of situation, I'm in the bridge, should I quit my job? Should I quit my job? What are some of the first things that you tell someone who's sort of like in that? Because in my experience, I know a lot of women who are in that situation.
Sure, I think that most of us are in that situation. And we get this all the time, right? Because especially about the leaving the job thing, which I have a pretty, like, stay in your job until you have something else. But, well, let's start from the beginning. The most important thing to do is face it, literally. It's like the opening of the mail, right? I mean, how many of us don't open our mail because we're like, oh, I know what's there, right? So it's sort of facing what it is that you have to look at. And so we call it kind of like the financial 360, right? So where am I, right? Do I have a budget? Do I even know what my budget is? Our budget is simple. It's pretty much a standard, which is, you know, if you have income, whatever your income is per month, no more than 50% of it should go to what you need to pay.
50.
No more than 50. And I know that's hard in the housing market.
Such as
rent, utilities, like major, like bills that have to get paid. Like, mm-hmm. you can't survive if you don't have that.
So 50% is survival.
Right. And we try to keep it lower than that, but no more than 50 of your monthly income. 20% should be going to some kind of savings, whether that's your 401k, emergency savings. If you don't have one, that's where you start. So that's sort of your savings. And that's high. Don't get me wrong. That is high. And sometimes you won't be able to meet that, but that's okay. But that's the goal. And then 30% is your like free money. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of how the way that I think about it. Don't worry about budgeting everything. What you need to know is what is 30% of your monthly income? Mm-hmm. That's how much you get to spend if you want to stay on track.
Okay.
Right?
Got it.
So then you can break that down. And we do this on our site automatically, just put in your monthly and we give you the numbers. What is that by week? And what's that by, some people like it by day, right? I mean, so I know I can spend $20 a day mm-hmm. if I'm going to stay on track. Some people, you know, it's okay to kind of know it in your head by the week. So that's about the general budget. You need to know what you're spending and where it's going. Right. So then you can figure out what can come off that. Right. That gym that you haven't been to in like 7 months. Right. you know, there's different things. Right. Or do you really need that extra like Spotify account? I mean, or even beauty stuff. We spend a lot of money on beauty stuff.
Yes, number one market.
Yeah. It's huge. I mean, and, you know, women in hair. Forget it. Like black girls in hair. I mean, it's like crazy. Nails, I mean, all that stuff. So, I mean, I've definitely, clearly, I don't go get my nails. Thanks.
You're join the club.
I do my own hair. it's pretty evident. But that's sort of kind of where I was like, no more of that, you know. And also eating out was like a big expense for us in New York. So that was something I like really, you know, reeled in when I started looking at where I was spending my money. Because it was things that I was like, I don't even know. Like I spent $15 on the shitty lunch.
Right.
And then I could have had $15 in drinks with my friends. Like, if I'm going to spend that money.
Or bottled water.
Why? Yeah.
Especially when you go to a restaurant and you order bottled water. That is a waste of your money, girl.
Total waste of your money.
Like,
yeah.
Next time you go somewhere, do not order bottled water. Just get
fees on the bank cards, too, on your ATM. I mean, there's just so many things you can start to see. Once you start to look at your money, then you start to see where it's going. So that's the first thing. Understand where you are in terms of your cash flow. Mm-hmm. And then move to like, okay, do I have a 401k? Did I have one at my other job that's just sitting there that I don't know about? Or that it's just sitting there and I should roll it over so I know where all my money's at. Am I insured? Right? Do a lot of people, and Latinas especially, they'll be at a job that has a 401k and don't know about the match or never asked, or they heard about it and they didn't know about it, so they didn't take it. So at your job, talk to your HR person and see what benefits are available. If you have a 401k and they're matching, that's free money. Take it. So, and especially if you're thinking about moving on, you want to think about, okay, what do I need to transition? You're going to need at least 6 months of your own cash flow to cover any kind of transition. I don't care how talented you are. So that's your sort of emergency to move over. And then,
do you recommend you always have like a 6 month cushion no matter what? And then your 401k on the side?
Like, exactly. So the emergency...
Like, what would be like your ideal situation? What should we strive for?
Yeah, well, there's different... I mean, most people will say it's like a 12-month. Like, okay. But that's a lot. That's a lot. Most people don't even have $1,000 in emergency. Start with 1,000. That's my... You know, that's a really basic sort of number that you can... let me start there. But you should have... Yes, you should have 6 months. It's about 6 months.
6 months.
Sometimes
it's
a year.
Is it 6 months of your...
your replacement income.
Okay. 6 months of your total income or 6 months of like the necessities or just 6 months?
No, it's supposed to be 6 months of your replacement income. So if you make $3,500 a month, you want $3,500 times six. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, sure, you're going to budget more when you're not working. Yeah.
And that might seem a lot, but you have to understand there's people out there who have that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? And there are communities out there who have that. And that's just standard since you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I think that's sort of like the mind shift that we need to make. Like, not like, oh, but that's like, how am I going to get there? It's more like, someone out there has it. It's possible. Let's figure out how to get there.
And the first thing I do is do the budget. So then you start to take away things, mm-hmm. right? And so if your living expenses, for example, are less than 50% of your income, then whatever's left over starts to go into that emergency fund, mm-hmm. right? If you pay down a credit card, then you think that, don't just be like, oh, no, I have extra money to spend. No, now you have extra money to put into your emergency savings or doing your investment account. Like, I don't want too much cash in your emergency savings because that's just... like cash sitting there, not making money. So I would be very, I mean, I would not have more than $10,000 sitting in a bank, not making money, especially with inflation the way it is. You're literally losing money. So if you have more than that, then start to put it into either a 401k, which is a retirement investment account, or you can put it into a traditional, like a Roth, or you can put it into just an investment account. So at least it's making some money. Right. And I'll tell you a little bit about those options when we get to the tips. The insurance, if you have kids, you better have insurance, life insurance. So you want to make sure that's all checked out. The other thing is to have a will, have some kind of a will or a trust if you have family property. To make sure that that's all like taken care of. The last thing you want to do, especially in California, is be in probate court. Mm-hmm. You're going to spend more money mm-hmm. than you're actually going to get just in probate fees. So you want to stay out of probate court if you at least have a will. But if you have anything that is worth value or you have property, you definitely want to try to look at a trust. So those are like the basics for children that are young and going to school, 529 plans. And here's a tip. You can use a 529 plan is just a state-run savings plan for college. Mm-hmm. So it grows tax-free, which means that you get a little bit of a discount on your taxes if you put money in there in that year, right? And then it can grow over time, and your kids can use it. But the great thing is that actually you can use it.
Oh.
This is something I just felt like recently kind of discovered, right?
Tell me more.
Yeah. So let's say you're young, 20-something, you went to undergrad, and you're like, I want to go to grad school. Not yet. I'm going to work. You can open your own 529 plan. You're the beneficiary of that plan. And then you can use it later on for your grad school. Prudential did a big study on Latino and our participation in retirement. And we are the least prepared. Latinos as a demographic are the least prepared for retirement.
Oh my gosh.
And we're totally screwed, by the way. Partially because of this, like,
because I'm banking on my child to take care of.
Yeah, no, and because it has happened. That's darn. Actually what we do.
Right.
Except though, that takes from the wealth of the family. It really does. Where you can still do that in a way, but plan for it in a better way, right? So you can create joint accounts where maybe, you know, if you're taking care of your mom, you're a beneficiary on that account as well, right? So or maybe all the brothers and sisters are putting in a certain amount of money, and you're like, this is going to be money for mom and dad as they get older. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to do that. Cool. And that's why I'm big on, like, the family needs to sit down and talk about money. And this is the other thing, right? So wealth that's transferred, that's actually how people build wealth in this country.
Yeah.
And it's something nobody talks about. But wealth transfer, especially amongst white families, has been over generations. So this is why we're all so kind of screwed. It's right. Generational wealth transfer. Whether that's because grandparents have already paid for school, right? And that's big. A lot of times grandparents start a college savings fund the minute the grandchild is born, right? Or when they pass, that money from their life insurance creates a fund for the grandkids to go to school, right?
So then they don't have college debt.
So
then they go out and then they're free to like go and travel. Correct. And they're able to go and do everything. Correct. And not have that burden and like, I'm getting buried in school loans.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So when they're working, then that money is now going towards either, you know, a home or retirement or whatever. The other thing that happens a lot too is that the wealth is transferred through a down payment on a home, right? So you think about buying a home nowadays, like even if you were to buy just an apartment in New York, you need like $80,000 down payment. I'm like seriously? Where am I getting $80,000 from?
And usually in other communities, that comes from a grandparent. That's right. Like here.
Or the parents.
Or the parents.
The parents will take a second out usually on their home. Right. And they give that to the child.
So that is what transfer of wealth means.
That's exactly what it doesn't always have to be death. There's a lot of what we call inter vivos during life transfer.
Oh.
And that's what that is. Or they give monies. A lot of parents or families give money for presents. And this is the other thing. Latinos love to have like a lot of presents. We spend a lot of money.
In presents?
During Christmas. And yes. We spend a lot of money. Oh my God. Oh, don't get me started on the quinceañeras. Yeah. We'll start.
I mean, bautizos. Like, how do I show up with the biggest present?
Right. Yeah. No, but it's, and a lot of like white families, they give money. They give bonds. They open up 529 plans. They're very clear that they're building wealth.
Okay, you just changed my mind. I am opening a 529 plan,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to be my baby's. Like, because people come over with birthday parties, right?
Yes.
Or when a new baby's coming,
yes.
or something.
Yes.
Instead of being like, look, don't give me a swaddle.
Right. I've got 500 blanket. Already. Yeah.
Like, don't give me anything. Just put money in my 529.
Exactly. Exactly.
We need to, okay.
Yeah. So that's a big one. And then again, like, if you're young and you can start to say, like, I didn't go to grad school until much later. If I would have known, I could have actually probably been putting some money in that and used that money for some of my school expenses.
Right.
Right. Right. And so grandparents can you can open them in any state. Right. So my mom lives in New Mexico. She's opening one in her state for my son and her and their other grandchild. So like that's happening. Right. And they can use it anywhere. They can go to school anywhere and use that money.
Okay.
So that's the other thing. 529 plans are big. Now, you're not putting a ton of money. They're not great investment vehicles. You're not making a shitload of money in returns in terms of the compared to the other investment vehicles. But it's safe money.
Right.
And it's growing tax-free. And when it comes out,
and
it's
tax-free. And Latinos love safe money.
And they love tax-free.
And we love tax-free. Who doesn't want tax-free?
It's better than a tanda.
Oh, my God.
Well, tandas are interesting. I mean, you know, they can be. Tandas are interesting.
Tandas pay for a lot of my stuff when I was growing
interesting.
Up. I'm just saying, you know, because you're afraid of opening a bank account. Right. You're an immigrant. You don't know what to do.
They're interest-free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's the kind
of. I know, like, even here within our employees, there's still, like, tandas going on.
Yeah.
A lot.
That's yeah, because, and so this is the other word that I like to use that people don't use. It's capital infusion. Anyone that wants to build something, or like whether that's a business or to a house, building assets takes capital. And that's what we don't generally have. And you usually need sort of a chunk of capital up front, mm-hmm. right? So there might be saying, oh, someone, you know, let's gather so we can get $10,000. Someone can then buy that house, buy that car, buy that business. Hopefully they're making those investments that then build income.
Right.
And that's, I think, our mistake on not understanding how you leverage, which is just debt. Leverage is just like, how do I take a loan? But how do I take a loan to buy something that makes money?
Yes. Right. Repeat that.
That makes sense.
Right?
Repeat that. So, I think that's so important for moms to understand, especially if they want to go into their own businesses, right?
Absolutely. You need to have a business plan that makes money. Okay. So, because we get a lot of people of business, they're like, oh, it's my passion. I get it. Passion is good. But what's your business model? How are you going to make money? Mm-hmm. And understanding that your time is not free. So are you paying for your time?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we get a lot of small business consultants and things that it has to make sense. Do not leave your job until you really understand your business model and how you're going to make money. Because what happens, well, people will put a lot of money up front into something that doesn't make any money. And now right. they're in debt.
Right.
Restaurants. I mean, you guys are, but restaurant business, it's very hard.
I know.
It's very hard to make money off a restaurant.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, those are the things that you need to think of, which is why, by the way, we are pushing a lot of more women, more Latinas in tech. Right. Because technology allows you to leverage at scale at a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like online stores.
Yeah. No, that's why tech is so lucrative.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because when you scale, you don't have to add new people.
Mm-hmm.
You've built something and then it scales by itself. So that initial investment is just repaying into infinity.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Beyond.
And beyond.
And beyond. Right. So that's how you create wealth. Right. It's not a one like unit thing.
Right.
It's know where the money is, make more money where you can. And that, look, I'm not big on the lean in. We've been leaning in for a long goddamn time. We're leaning in so much we're going to fall over. Right?
I've been leaned in, girl.
I'm bent. I can't even stand up straight. So it's not like we're not working and we're not leaning in or we're not asking for a raise. I'm like, I've asked for a raise. I've been in places where I would just get like let go if I really, you know what I'm saying? And that's at the highest levels. So I think that comparison between women of color and white women in terms of leaning in, it doesn't make a lot of sense for us, right? We've had three jobs already, mm-hmm. right?
So like, I know the hustle.
We know the hustle. Like every woman
I've
of color.
I've been hustling. Yeah. If you're a woman of color.
Side hustle.
If you're a woman of color, you've been hustling since the day you were born.
Thank you. Right? You three jobs is like, what? I got four.
Yeah.
So
you only got three?
Right. You've only got three. So figuring out one. Can one of those make more money, right? That's mm-hmm. one way to think about it, right? Whether that's the price point or how do I get a bigger contract or, you know, right? So those are the things that you want to think about is how to bring in more revenue, how to spend a little bit less or at least spend those things that make sense. Then looking at what we call just really the financial products and tools that you need, right? And that's the part that I think people get complexed about, which are what are the actual products that I need? Because mm-hmm. you do need some stuff. You need a bank account. You need some credit.
Right.
You need the life insurance. You need some kind of an investment account, right? They're just accounts. They're just like bank accounts. They're just different names because of tax reasons.
Right, right.
Okay, so that, like, let's be clear. They're just different sort of pools of money, and you got to kind of spread that wealth. Buying homes, still really important, but I would say this in the market. One thing that a lot of the young white folks have been very good at is seeing a place that's up and coming, and they move in.
Mm-hmm.
That's where they go. Boyle Heights right now is the next big thing. It's the next Brooklyn, right? So if I had money, that's where I would go. Right. And what happened is that even, and it's happened in New York too, Latinos got money and then they moved to the suburbs. Right. And now the values of the homes that they left are like, I mean, yeah, 10 times
right. as much.
10 right. times as right. much.
It's true.
If we would have just stayed in downtown LA. Right. I mean, there's mm-hmm. just so if you know,
just stayed in Highland Park. And now moved.
City Terrace is yeah. already, I've been looking at City Terrace. It's already like high.
Yeah.
And so that's, those are the kinds of things. We just need to be a little bit more savvy about like how money works, right? So if you're going to buy a property, always think of it as an investment property.
Mm-hmm.
And then think about where it's at, right?
And
so
where
that
it's going.
Where it's going, right? Not
so
now.
True.
And don't be looking at like, oh, that it looks nice now. No, you can fix that.
Right.
You
right.
can fix that. That's mm-hmm. all like aesthetic, right?
Right.
So, you know, again, value over time,
mm-hmm.
even with cars too, right? A lot of times we get in massive debt for cars, especially in California. Mm-hmm. It's insane.
I
mean, it loses value the minute you drive it off the lot. You know, there, if you're going to buy a car and pay cash, oh, which always kills me because that cash could be used to make money. You're actually putting that cash into a dying asset.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's like $5,000, you know, like boom, you're just going to get a car that's a used car, fine. But buying a brand new car with cash
oh, wow.
is insane.
Right, right.
A lot of immigrants do it.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
it's the big
true.
Thing. They don't want the debt.
They don't want the debt. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they have the money and they want the car.
Right. That makes sense. You're right.
Yeah.
But it's like that $20,000 sitting in a good investment account. I mean, it grows at 7-8%. You'll be a millionaire. You will. That's actually very possible these days. But you have to let that sit there. Instead,
mm-hmm.
you're putting it into a car.
Mm-hmm. That makes total sense. Total sense.
Jesus, you're just schooling us left and right.
I'm like, what?
Okay, how do I prepare for a new baby?
So prepare for a
how
new baby.
How much do I need to have in a savings account before my pops out?
I would say you want enough to cover childcare. You want to start thinking about childcare the minute
for a
you,
year?
If you can, yeah.
Okay.
If you can, and childcare is going to differ across. I mean, in New York, it's insane.
It's ridiculous.
You also want to think about like the school. The minute you're pregnant, you want to think about kindergarten and the preschool, right?
Oh, we do that. In this show, we're preaching about, I mean, you're in waiting list for preschool the moment you are pregnant.
Exactly, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. so you want to think about that immediately. So if you want to be completely prepared, do you have family that's going to be able to, you know, at least, I would say, to have a nice cushion, at least 7, if not 10.
Mm-hmm.
Better months. To have 15. 1,000.
Oh, 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just in terms of like that cushion. And again, knowing where you're going to be working, does your work offer a certain amount of paid leave.
Mm-hmm.
That's look. When I got pregnant, I was in. I was sort of, but I had good benefits. I was like, you know what? I don't know. It was really a financial decision. I didn't know if I was going to have that good of a job at any other time.
Right.
I had 3 months paid leave. That's like almost unheard of now.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a big like. I was like, no, let me do this now.
So your like, child was a financial decision.
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, it was like, when am I going to be able to do this? So I think it's really important.
It makes sense. You founded a website called My Money, My
Family. Right. You know, I'm just like, okay, those things, and that's the same thing, right? If you're going to leave your job, does your man have a stable job? Does your partner have a stable job? Like, what are like? Don't be in dreamland. You got to be super realistic. As a lawyer, too, I'm like, the worst case scenario, right? What's the worst? You're not going to find a job. So what then?
It's so funny because we're so like in the show, we're so like, oh, follow your dreams, your passions. You can do it. Super Tony Robbins says. And here you're like, land and your feet.
Well, Tony Robbins, though, gets a mad amount of money. He made a very good business model
mm-hmm.
off of his, and he scaled.
Oh, yeah.
So he started with the whole motivational thing, but his money really comes from the tapes, the licensing fees,
right.
the books, right? So that's called passive income. Where you can create that, you've got a winner, right? So whether it's a brand, and the great thing about nowadays, and we're creatives, right? Let's let them, we're super creatives, you know, we got to learn how to harness that, whether we trademark stuff and then sell it, you know, thinking about like branding, right? Because it's all about the brand. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what Tony Robbins did. He created a brand.
He did.
And that's where he made his money. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And so, yeah, he can go ahead. I mean, him and Susie, right? I'm like, if you look at their stories, you're just like, eh, but someone gave you a break. Something happened. Right. There was a capital infusion.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that's what's really important. So where's your capital infusion? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be your family, maybe? And it comes from different places, right? And same thing with a tech startup. You know, there's a, it's a little bit different in terms of our funding, but so we go after venture capital. But the early rounds of venture capital, like what we call family and friends, like they really expect like from family and friends to give at least $250,000. Like that's insane. None of our family has $250,000.
I'm like, who kind of friends do they have?
I'm thinking about my family. I'm like, who has this kind of money?
Right. But they do.
That's the community they're in.
And they're also more willing to take risks in business.
So that's what we have to change in our community.
That's every story. Like, you know, I heard the story from the co-founders or Airbnb, and all, and they're like, my mom gave me $10,000. My dad gave me this much. I'm like, damn, you know, my parents wouldn't give me that much.
But it was the opposite in our situation.
You know what I mean? It's a different culture. And you're right. We have, you know, we look at all these people that are super successful and, you know, how do they do it? But we have to open our eyes and know that we are in a different culture and our culture works different. So how do we make it work for ourselves?
Right. And investment in ourselves is one thing, right? So it's also being taking some risk. And I'm not saying take stupid risk. It's not the just go follow your passion at all expense. It's taking a very calculated risk, right? So I could have worked at the law firm and made decent money and had a very stable job, or I could take this risk. And I worked for a full year before leaving my job. So that was the other thing, right? So I was planning, I was working on it without leaving my job because I was like, I don't know if this thing's going to like work, you know?
And also another thing also that like we learned from our parents is always, they always save money under the colchón, right? Like they don't ever want to put it somewhere because they feel like somebody's going to take it at any, you know, time. They're, no, what if it disappears? What if something happens and my money's gone?
Right.
So a lot of our parents, grandparents, still till this day, you know, have money, you know, saved in their house and in other places. So I think that's another thing that we also have to switch.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You should not keep any money at your house because if that burns down, that money's gone, and it's also losing money.
Right.
Okay. So,
but what if you have like a fireproof safe and you just need some, just like, I always think you should keep something. Like,
I mean, yeah, sure. You can have some cash
and like, let's get a bag and let's get out of here. Especially nowadays,
right,
girl.
Right, I know.
I mean,
nowadays it's kind of scary.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe we keep that in Bitcoin.
I need I don't know, a duffel bag with some cash, with a gun, some like water pouches, some freeze-dried food, and let's get out of this country. Something for bad real. Happens. I mean, I'm just saying.
No, yeah, absolutely. Look, and I think that fear is not unfounded, by the way. There, because what happens is that because we don't understand finance, our communities are prone to like all kinds of predatory practices, and including a lot of predatory practices in the investment world,
right?
Because they're based on fees, which is why we created a site and a platform that we're not investing your money, we're not taking your money. What we're saying is, here are the tools and the resources you need, and here's some partners that we use if you want to open an account. And I think that's really key because there's still a lot of financial advisors in the communities that come after people that don't know.
Right,
and what happens is that money can actually get lost because they're investing and you don't know. And because this man's, or usually a man, come in selling you something, well, and he's like, he knows.
And he's getting a commission. So he's going to sell you whatever he gets a commission
out
of.
Exactly.
You know? So like, don't, you know.
And just, this happens with a lot of churches.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's better for us to be educated.
And as children of our parents who may not know, this is really important. This is why we focus on young folks. Young being, you know, sort of under 50 at this moment.
Hey,
it might get pushed up. But it's that because we're the ones that actually kind of know. We're like sort of technology and the way the communication and information flows now. We know we're the ones that should be helping our parents plan because we don't want other people coming in and getting them into products that they don't need or that are not of value to them.
Right. Amen. Okay, let's take a break. And get to our Super Mama pick or tip of the week. Information. Our breaks are really short. So much information. Dad, we're going to bring you back the next time you're in LA.
I'm like, oh my God.
We should have an Ask Ramona. Like,
oh, yeah, well, we should do something.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely, we will.
I will ask Ramona.
So, do you have any tips? Well, now we're into our Super Mama Pick or Tip segment that we love so much. Do you have any picks or tips for us?
Sure. I have a couple apps. I'm big on apps, obviously. So Digit's a good app. And this is a savings app. And so what it does is that it will take some, you know, it'll round up sort of in your account and put it away for you. Or you can automate it to say, take $5 a day. Pretend it's like your coffee. Mm-hmm. You won't really notice it, right? Or it'll go in your account automatically and take some money. It's really low amounts of money that you don't see. And it has an algorithm. But at the end of the month, I mean, I've used it. It's like, I have $300 in there.
Nice,
right?
Nice.
As long as you don't touch it, then it'll keep growing, right? And that you can, even it's just like the beginning of your emergency savings. And if you need it, you can always pull it out. It's a pretty, it's like a quick 24-hour turnaround. But I really like that app. The other one I like is Robinhood. And this is partially just because I think that everyone should learn how to buy a stock, trade a stock, understand following stock, important. Right? And even though, to be honest, none of us should be day traders. You shouldn't be. This is not your retirement plan. This is just for you to have competency and understand. So you might take, or if you have a teenage son, like I do, it's like giving them some money and be like, here, invest in something. I want to see what you can do. And so they understand what it means when they have commercials on the Dow Jones that went up or down, right?
Right.
And so Robinhood allows you to buy stocks with no fees, because usually when you go through a broker, you have to pay a fee. Mm-hmm. So you can, you know, put $300, or just $100, and look around and figure out what you want to buy. Warren Buffett sort of like buy, you know, invest in what you buy. So mm-hmm. if you use Tide, what's the parent company of Tide?
P&G.
Exactly. And they're huge. And they probably...
And they give dividends.
And they give dividends, right? We like dividends. So those kinds of things, right? So that way you can at least just sort of play in the market, fill it out, and get a better understanding. The more people know...
Invest in Target.
Invest in Target. It's all the same at the end of the day, to be honest. Your money is going all kinds of places. Even places you probably don't want your money to go, it's going in because of mutual funds and ETFs. That's the other thing. If you are investing, try to stay away from mutual funds that have high fees. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so when we say portfolio, like, you know, looking at your portfolio, it's basically saying, okay, I have a 401k. If you put in $300 a month, where do you want that $300 allocated? And there's going to be different options for you. And that's probably a whole nother show, but it's really important to make sure that your money is making money.
Right.
Right. And so mutual funds have a lot of fees that you don't see, so you don't make as much money at the end of the day.
Index funds are the way to go, right?
Index funds, yep. ETFs and index funds, and it's just that's the way it's going these days. So that's a kind of another show, but you can find out more about that on the site. That's a little bit more sort of information. So the tip I would say, Robinhood and Digit are really good apps.
Love,
nice,
Paulina.
Nice. My tip has nothing to do with money. it has to do with I'm going to say emotional wealth. you know, everything that's just happening in the world is just so crazy right now that I read or heard this book called What I Know for Sure by Oprah. And I listen to it right before I go to sleep or as soon as I wake up, and it at least gives me some positive perspective, some things. And I recently started following her more. And I really, really like that book because it's so positive, and she just shares all of her, you know, she drops all her knowledge on you, on all the things she knows for sure. Have you read it?
No, but I do. I need to.
Yeah. It's so good. It's so good. I know she just talks about her experiences and, you know, positive stuff, love, spiritualism, like everything. And I really, really like it. So it's on Audible. It's only like 3 hours and a half, and I'm like 15 minutes to be done. And I really like that book, and I think we need that. We need some of that every day just to stay sane with everything that's going on.
Absolutely.
So I would really
suggest that.
That
and a duffel bag to run out of.
Right. For real. It's crazy. It's just like joking. You know, like you wake up and like you see all these things that you just want to shut down, but you can't because this is what you were living in. It's just so crazy. You know,
it is. It's really hard to stay focused but we do have to stay focused and stay involved. Mm-hmm. And that's key, right? I mean, remember,
you're a human rights activist.
I was, and absolutely. And then the money, you got to follow the money, mm-hmm. right? And that's the key, right? So capital is just part of like building community, right? And so that's the way that we think about it. It's not just about you getting rich. It's about how do you build wealth for your family and your community?
Right, exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if we need to do something, then do we have the money and resources to do it?
Yeah, you have it's to sort stay
like
focused.
You have to help yourself in order to help others, right?
Right.
And you exactly. go, and the only way you help yourself is you have to be knowledgeable in money. Mm-hmm. You have to be knowledgeable in, you know, being prepared. Mm-hmm. And being prepared is better to be prepared than not prepared at all.
Exactly. Right.
You know, I went crazy on Amazon. I bought like freeze-dried fruit. I bought like things of water.
She's ready for the revolution.
No, I mean, you have to be prepared. You have like, to. No joke. It's like it's real.
Yeah.
Because I feel like at some point people have been for a while being like, oh, but it's not going to happen. Like, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He's not going to get elected.
Right.
He's not going to do that. And then like I'm like slowly I'm like everything he said it's not happening. Like it's happening. It's so happening. At this point, I'm not discarding any possibility.
No, I agree. I don't think you should.
Just get prepared.
You know, when everybody's freaking out, you have to stay centered. And that's why you have to like, you know, stay positive. Even though like everything is just, you have to take care of yourself so you can make good decisions. Because shit's going down and you have to be able to make good decisions. So, you know, that's why I'm like, I have to stay sane so that I can, you know, just look around and see what I have to do and where to go next.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
So my tip, aside from getting a duffel bag, fireproof, I wanted to recommend an online banking site that I personally use for my vacation funds. I name my savings accounts. That way I know like what that's for and what that's for and what that's for. As opposed to having like as opposed to having one
million,
one account, because you know you have to be. That's the way motivational. My brain works.
Yeah, sure.
And the one I use is I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce it. If it's Ally or Ally.
Oh, Ally. Yeah, yeah.
It's Ally. ally.com.
Yeah.
And it's an online banking savings account. It gives you 1%.
Sure.
It's nothing if you even take inflation into consideration,
right?
But it's better to have it like at a regular bank account that gets you like at least like zero.
Mm-hmm. Sure,
and charges you.
And
Simple
charges
is
you.
Also very good. I use Simple. Okay, which is it's now bought out by BBVA, but it's an online bank, and you can do easy budgeting. And I use it actually for my kid too, if I need to leave him some money, because you can put money on it, right? Mm-hmm. And then it's like I know exactly how much is there. You can't overspend. There's no fees. So these are all very good examples of how to keep those little pots separate,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and keep motivated.
Yeah.
And
I'm
going to
start
technology.
A baby fund now that you just motivated me.
Yeah, no, do the 529. And then also for you all, really important to think about your trust and estates planning, because mm-hmm. you guys do have mm-hmm. a lot of assets, you know, collectively as a family.
Yeah. I'm going to hit you up after the show. All right. Thank you, Ramona, for being here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to come back. Yeah.
Please,
I love
please. I think maybe next time we'd take some, you know, questions from the moms.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that would be
like
great.
Specific ones.
And they can find us on Facebook at our page too, My Money, My Future.
That was my next question. Where can they find you?
Yeah, they're on Facebook. And we want to do more Facebook Live. So we want to be doing a lot more Q&A stuff. Twitter, Dinero_Futuro. Instagram, My Money, My Future. We are on Snapchat, although, to be honest, we're not using it as much as we should. But if anybody wants to be an intern and take over our Snapchat, please. So that's where you can find us.
My Money, My Future, or Mi Dinero, Mi Futuro. Thank you so much for being here. Just don't forget to
follow
connect
us, ladies.
With us
and Instagram at _supermamas, Twitter as well, Supermamas Podcast on Facebook, and supermamapodcast.com on the web. Check us out. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Tell a friend, share it, go to iTunes, subscribe, leave us some, you know, some love, review. 5 stars, please, only.
We didn't even get a chance to talk about your kid and how you teach him finance. See? You know what? We have to have... We do. too little of a time.
So much, so much. I'm gonna like, can I have a weekly call with you?
All right, we're out, ladies. Thank you so much for tuning in. Super Mama!
Super Mama!